Adventures, Joni and Mike plan to delve into the unknown paranormal world in hopes of uncovering the unknown and the unheard. Welcome to EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be.
The All Souls Paranormal Radio Network brings you some of the...
Oops, did I start too soon, or...?
That was my mistake. I forgot to take it off auto DJ.
That's okay. Anyway, thanks, everybody, for stopping in and listening to another installment of Egypt Valley... Listen to me. Egypt Valley... Paranormal Spirit Talk Radio. I am out of breath. I had to go chase my son down on his Ranger scooter. So I'm a little out of breath at the moment, but I will recover. Oh, I tell you. Anyway, what's up with you, Mike? How was your day?
I worked, and then I came home and had all intentions of getting Evan's stuff put away for him. You know, he's moving in this weekend, so... Yeah, I made it to the truck, to the driveway, and everything's still in the truck. So that's...
Yeah.
And I was going to clean the camper and get that ready to take it for a trial run before Jamboree, but I didn't do that either, so.
Oh, yeah, Jamboree. Jamboree in the house. What is that? I know it's July.
Yeah, 55 days and counting.
Yay.
I have a countdown clock on my computer. Sad.
Yeah, it's like I can't count down to Halloween,
yeah,
I suppose,
yeah.
But... Anyway,
the weather's beautiful, and I just didn't feel like doing anything, so chilled.
Yeah. Did you see? There is a petition. I don't really understand what it's about. Kinda, it's kind of confusing to me. But anyway, they were asking for people to sign for a paranormal boycott of the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure from what I'm reading because I didn't talk to the guy. About it, but when I'm reading, it's because, you know, the Queen Mary, it's a very investigated place.
Yeah.
And Peter James spent a lot of time out there. And something about their, I don't know if they're trying to close, the way that it reads, they're trying to close it, or they don't want to let outside investigators come in. So I don't know if that means if you don't have an event scheduled, you can't get on there.
Right. Well, last week, why can't I ever think of her name? She was our guest last week. Brought it up
Nance
was talking about. Yeah, Nance. She was talking about it because it's so active and people are saying that the investigations are actually being detrimental to the, I guess, general public. I would guess you'd say because, you know, they said they're stirring up too many spirits or whatever. They're trying to close it to, that should have something, you know, something scheduled. They're just trying to close it for just normal groups to come in and investigate. So, I don't see how it's going to be possible. You know, I mean, how do you?
It's being detrimental to the people that are coming on there.
To the just general public, because, you know,
people that are just on there for general tours and things.
Right.
And people that go there eat dinner and things like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, it's really not clear. I don't really understand.
I don't think that, I guess it is possible since they own it. It is a privately owned vessel now,
right.
But I just
don't, it is,
I
yeah.
see how, because, I mean, you know, if you don't divulge that you're, you know, a paranormal investigator, how are they going to know, you know? Anybody can lie and say they're not, and go in and find footage or whatever, and, I mean, cell phones and things now, my iPhone takes better video than my
video camera.
So
yeah, it's true.
I can go in, sit down, eat dinner, or go through a tour and run my camera the whole time and find all kinds of information. Or, you know, so technology's too advanced, I think. But like, I got the iPhone. So, but you know, we were talking last week. They make big dollars off people going in there and doing investigations. So
mm-hmm.
I don't see why.
Well, that's not all they do, I guess. They do have people. I mean, it's kind of like a hotel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they make money regardless, so I don't know. I suppose just they can do what they want. And
yeah, I mean, I just don't think that, I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. Like I said, they're privately owned vessel, so I suppose they can do what they want, but I just don't foresee a whole lot of people signing that petition. But, you know, I guess you could be surprised. So, well, Mike, you want to go ahead and run a commercial now, and then we'll get our guests on the line and get started on this?
All righty. I can do that.
Well, yeah, I think Tina's in the chat room, so, which is nice.
Okay. All right, well, let's get it started, and we'll be right back.
Have you heard the stories from Bobby and Megan, wondered if they were true? Ever wanted to come and investigate and find out for yourself? Well, here is your chance. Come join my group, NKYPS, and our partner group, Crabs, as we investigate Bobby Mackey's music world on August the 2nd from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m., and the cost is only $55 a person. If you're interested and want more information, you can contact me, Crystal, at christel@nkyps.com. You may also visit our website to see the evidence we have gathered from there at www.nkyps.com.
Hello, this is Steve Shockley. Do you know what I like to do on Sunday nights? I like to connect to ASPRN Radio and listen to Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. He's on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Don't forget, Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels.
Every Sunday night, join Mike
and Mary for Music Over the Years.
Come over to www.asprn.com at 11:30 p.m.
Join in the party. Coming up, so you got to get this party started. Cause we all just want to be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. Getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Kicking off the Thursday night lineup is Monster Quest's very own Jody Cook. Tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday night for Ohio Crypto Radio. Your host, Jody Cook, plans to delve into the many mysteries of cryptozoology, talking about Bigfoot, Mothman, and beyond. Come over to www.asprn.com every Thursday night at 8 p.m. for Jody Cook's Ohio Crypto Radio.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, and welcome back to the show, EVP Spirit Talk. Tonight we have two guests, actually. They're sisters, Tina Fiorda and yes. Cody Cameron, okay? And they have together written a book. It's called A Book of Insight, Wisdom from the Other Side. And what's unusual about this is the book was written according to three entities that they had contacted, I guess kind of accidentally, through the Ouija board. And they used those messages that they got from these entities to write this book about spiritual wisdom and knowledge and the collective consciousness of mankind and about the transition that we're actually going to all be going through or are probably already going through. So we'd like to welcome Cody and Tina to the show.
Welcome, ladies.
Hi. Hi there. Thank you so much for having us. Hi there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For those who don't know a whole lot about you and what you guys do you want to give us a little history or background and what got you started on the subject?
Sure. This is Tina. And it goes back to our childhood. I'm the older sister. And so, of course, I started having very interesting experiences early in my childhood. Experiences such as out-of-body experiences, invisible friends, visitations. And, you know, when I was a child, I thought it was normal, as most children do. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I realized that these aren't the kind of experiences that happen to us on a day-to-day basis. And Tilly had similar experiences, such as tree spirits that she saw, and I guess ghosts, you know, things of that nature. So our interest got piqued at a very early age. When I was about 13, we moved cross country and lived with our grandparents for a while, and one of our aunts lived there too for a while. And that's when I first came across a Ouija board. And at the time, I had no idea what it was. It was just a game, but I didn't know how to use it, and read the instructions and got a bit of an inkling as to what it was all about. And when Tilly got older, her and I started experimenting with the Ouija board. And, you know, in the beginning, we didn't get much movement, but we were very persistent and kept at it. And eventually, it started moving, the pointer. And, you know, being teenagers, we would ask, you know, I guess, frivolous things that teenagers ask at that age, and just having fun with it. And one day, out of the blue, this entity started cursing at us. So we found out very early that it's definitely a tool to be respected.
Right.
And so we began saying prayers of protection from then on, and visualizing ourselves protected by white light. And ever since then, we've had nothing but wonderful experiences. We've met our spirit guides. There's three spirit guides, Melanie, M, and Demna, that introduced themselves to us many years ago. And over the years, we built up a relationship with them. Until, I guess, 2004, one day, we sat down to do a regular session, and they delivered a page on meditation to us. And that was quite interesting. Nothing like that had ever come through before. And at that time, they told us that this was the first page of the first chapter of our first book. And we didn't take it very seriously. In fact, we didn't follow up on it until 3 years later. And when we finally followed up on it, they picked up exactly where they left off. And at that point, they told us that it was going to be a book of insight. It was going to be called a book of insight. It was going to have 16 chapters, and they proceeded at that time to channel the book to us.
Huh.
And now fast forward to today, we have a book, and it's pretty fascinating material that's inside this book.
Yeah, like I said, I checked out your website, and from just what's on the website, it seems like it's a very interesting subject, especially. Now, do you find that maybe people might be a little more skeptical? Since, I mean, the Ouija board has negative connotation. My sister had one.
Yeah, especially with paranormal investigators, a lot of people are afraid of them.
Right, because, you know, just like with someone doing dowsing, you don't really know who you're talking to. You know, they can say they're one person and they're actually someone else or whatever. So do you find that people, when you talk about this, do you find people are a little more skeptical to believe what has actually happened with the two of you, or, you know, are people more open-minded to it?
Well, usually when we talk to people about the book, they are a bit skeptical at first, just because of the way the material was delivered to us. And we were quite surprised to find that there are many people that really have this fear of the Ouija board. And part
mm-hmm.
of what we've started to do in this process of bringing our book forward is also to educate people a little bit on the Ouija board, what it is, how to use it. And we like to remind people that the Ouija board basically is a piece of wood with some letters stenciled on it, and it also comes with a planchette or a pointer that's made out of plastic. And what we say to people is that the Ouija board itself is not a negative tool. It basically is just a communication tool. It's a divination tool that really is no different than using tarot cards, rune stones, crystal ball, you name it. These are just all tools that help the psychic or medium to tune in a little more into the energies they're trying to interact with.
Right.
I think where the real problem lies when you do hear stories of people having negative encounters, we have to remind people that it's not the board itself that is causing these negative encounters, but it's the intention of the people using the tool. Now, if you use the tool as a game and you don't treat it with respect, and you're just randomly calling in anything to come and join you, then anything will come and join you, and that anything may be something positive. You may have a positive experience, or you may have a very negative experience. It's no different than sitting down to a seance and just randomly inviting someone to come through. You don't know who's going to show up. So it's really important to remember that it is the intention of the person using the tool that will either invite a negative or a positive experience, and it's not the tool itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add to that I think the Ouija board itself has gotten a bit of a bum rap, I say, because of, you know, one thing is we have Hollywood movies as an example where, you know, we look at these horror movies and how many horror movies have been made where the beginning of the story starts out with a Ouija board, where you have a group of people playing with a board and all of a sudden a negative entity comes through and now the story begins. And the Ouija board almost, you know, takes on a negative character within the film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we have to remember that media plays a role in this. Often the stories that we hear are secondhand stories. Pina and I personally have never met anyone who has had a direct personal negative encounter with the board. That's not to say it wouldn't happen. But, I think that maybe Hollywood has played a bit of a role in giving the Ouija board a bad name.
Right. Well, yeah, my sister had one at home. She's a few years older than I am, and, you know, we never really did anything with it together. But my friends and I used to do it every once in a while, and we actually had contacted a couple entities, and, you know, they started out being very, very nice. And then as the night rolled on, they started, like, calling one of my friends. They would call her mommy, and they would tell her they were going to kill their mother and things like that, you know. So, of course, that was my only experience. I've never touched it since. And, you know, I was younger, and now that you explain it the way you explain it, it's very possible that we were just conducting the energy ourselves. You know, I mean, we were kids playing with it, not respecting it, and all of a sudden something like that happens, and I, like I said, I've never touched one again, and I'm very reluctant to even touch one again.
Yeah.
So, when you find people that have had negative, or a negative reaction from their experience, do you find that they're harder to get to understand? What could possibly
or maybe
coming from it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, we find that it usually takes a little time for us to help them, to basically educate them on what the board is and how to properly use it. And what we always tell people is that it's really important, well, first of all, to approach it with respect. When you do use the board, if you plan on using a Ouija board, have only positive intent. Say a prayer of protection. Surround yourself with an imaginary white light.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, if you were to go to see a psychic or a medium for a reading, what we don't see before we get there is that they are usually clearing their space. They might burn sage, incense. They may do just like a little personal ritual to clear their space, to clear any negative energy. So there's always a ritual that takes place in the background. And the same should happen if anyone is going to play with a Ouija board. And, you know, that's another thing I like to tell people to just sort of put things into perspective is that if Ouija boards were these negative evil tools that some people believe them to be, well, we would see hauntings in toy stores across the nation.
Right.
So we have to remember it's not the board itself,
yeah,
and it's how we use the tool.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to what Tilly is saying, because
One thing that's important to remember is that we are comprised of over 75% water. And our bones also are made of a crystalline substance. And when you think about it, water and crystals are conductors.
Right.
And they are conductors of information. So when you look at it that way, you can realize that we human beings are actually receivers and transmitters of information.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is not the board, the piece of wood, that is receiving the information. It is the human that's operating the board. So usually when, like for instance, when Tildy and I operate the board and we put our hands on the planchette, we create a closed circuit. We complete the circuit. Mm-hmm. And that energy that comes through is conducted through us.
Mm-hmm.
It is not conducted through the wood. So that's one thing for people to remember, is that we are conductors of information, and we were made that way for that specific
right.
reason.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an important thing to remember, because as the humanity is awakening, it is important for us to remember that we are conductors, receivers and transmitters of information, because that is where our intuitive abilities come from, and for our psychic abilities come from. It's from receiving psychic information through our instrument. And it's important that, because we are the instrument that is receiving and transmitting information, that's part of the reason that it's a good idea to keep our instrument pure and clean. For instance, eating organic foods,
mm-hmm.
not eating foods with pesticides and chemicals, because we are greater than what we realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. And I do believe there is an awakening probably happening now. But it just seems to me that it's, so many people are still not going to realize it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Even like you talk about intent, they don't even really, a lot of people don't understand even what intent really is. And you really, really have to feel the intent. And when they do use a Ouija board or a crystal, whatever they use, and they say their protection, they have to have that intent to make that work.
That's correct.
Well,
I think
a lot of what's going on in the world today, I'm not sure that people don't realize what's going on. I think people can become jaded in their day-to-day life and don't want to know what's going on. You know, a lot of people are not receptive to change. So I think, you know, I mean, we've evolved. I mean, as human beings, we've evolved for millions of years. But I think that we, our society today is so conceited, and I think that we just feel that we are all that we can be. And that's so far from the truth, you know what I mean?
It is so far from the truth. And this is why our guides gave us this book, the Book of Insight, is to help awaken humanity, and it contains within it 16 chapters of information for the awakening soul, and they tell us that there are more and more messengers coming through nowadays with information and with messages for humanity in order to help awaken people. And I think what happens is we still, although I notice more and more people beginning to awakening, we still have a long way to go. And what we need to realize is that although we are here having a three-dimensional experience, we are, first and foremost, we are spiritual beings. And we tend to forget that. We tend to get so absorbed in our everyday lives and so caught up in watching the television or, just getting tuned into media, which is, in a sense, programming that spiritual information out of us, or it's keeping us tuned into a different reality. And we have to begin to remember who we really are, and we have to begin to remember that we are much greater than just a physical three-dimensional being. And as we start to have those little glimpses, those little sparks of those aha moments, then we begin to trigger our awakening within ourselves. And something that our guides speak about in the book and stress throughout the book is the importance of meditation to help us with that. what they tell us is that meditation is the one most important thing that we can do for our spiritual development and for our awakening. Meditation is a wonderful tool that we can use for our intuition, for our psychic abilities. We as spiritual beings all have these abilities latent within us. It's a natural part of who we are. And that's another wonderful thing about meditation, is that it helps us to reconnect with that part of ourselves, and it helps us to hone those skills that we naturally have within us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to add to it that I would suggest, what our guides suggest, is that people take just even a minimum of 15 minutes a day of quiet time to meditate, and they tell us that alone will make a big difference in people's lives.
Right. I was the whole media thing interested me, because I was at work today, just like the radio on the internet, of course, and just sitting at work, and then they had talked about a magazine article. They did a poll of a city, I can't remember what city it was, and they'd ask the people what were the top 10 things that they could not live without, you know, besides food and shelter and things like that. And the first thing that people said they could not live without was their laptop.
Their laptop,
the internet, television was in there, but there was no mention of anything spiritual. There was no mention of any personal, interpersonal. You know, people were saying they could actually do without their friends as long as they had their internet. You know, I was like, that shocked me. Because I personally, I mean, granted, we're on an internet radio show and everything, but the only time I actually ever wanted the internet would be to do the show and to do my homework.
Yeah,
which is pretty much every day. But
yeah, we're becoming very isolated people in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing is that the laptop, the internet, is what's bringing all of us together, all of us awakening souls together. And, you know, that's the one good thing about the internet, is there is an awakening that's going on, and there's a lot of information on the internet that you won't find on mainstream news and mainstream media. And
Would have been a mixed blessing.
It's been a mixed blessing, yes. I probably am one of those people that probably couldn't live without my laptop, but it's for that reason, because it keeps me in touch with all these other people who are awakening and are having the same incidents as Tilly and I, and same experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe there's an awakening. So now, did this have any coincident type situation with 2012, or is that even in the mix?
Oh, yes, they do speak about 2012, but they say that 2012 is not this magical date like December 21st where suddenly the world is going to end or there's going to be major catastrophes. It's nothing like that at all. 2012 is really more of a symbolic date. I think it's got to do with the galactic alignment that's supposed to be happening around that time. But it's a good thing. It's not a negative thing. And it pertains to the awakening of mankind and to the opening of our third eye, which is where we're going. But our guides say that has already started. We're already in it. So, when 2012 comes, December 21st, 2012, we're all going to go to sleep that night, and we're going to wake up the next day, and it's going to be another day. None of this huge fanfare. But again, getting back to Hollywood, as Tilda was talking about before, is that Hollywood tends to make these movies that are catastrophic or horror movies. And I work in the film business, so I can tell you without hesitation that horror films are licensed to print money. Nobody's going to make a feel-good movie about a Ouija board. Nobody's going to make a feel-good movie about 2012, because the money's just not there. It's not going to generate huge profits. But if you're going to make horror movies on Ouija boards and horror movies on 2012, well, that's where the money is. You're going to generate profits from it.
And what our guides tell
us is that this awakening is already taking place. So as Tina mentioned, we're not waiting for a magical date. It's already happening. And what they tell us that
we will all go through the awakening. And they give us an example of a rose bush. And they say, look at a rose bush. A rose bush has many rosebuds on it. Now, eventually, all of those rosebuds will bloom, but they don't all bloom at the same time. They all bloom within their own time frame. When the moment is right for that particular bud, it will bloom. And the same can be said for humanity as well. But it's definitely, it's part of our evolutionary process. It's something we are all definitely headed towards, and we are already seeing the beginnings of it take place.
Right. Now, going back to 2012, like you said about the movies, a lot of people that I knew didn't even know anything about 2012 until that movie came out. You know, so now they're all in a panic mode, thinking that this is going to happen in 2012. This is what's going to happen in 2012. And conversely, I read an article in a magazine that was contrasting December 21st, 2012, to the election of the new president, because the two coincide with each other. So, you know, the election of 2012 and, you know, the end of the world in 2012, they're comparing and contrasting.
Yeah, they're just trying to tie everything together. It's marketing, I think, in a way.
Yeah, it's to instill panic, basically, is how I look at it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the year 2000 as well. There was panic around that day, too, as everybody was tying the computers into it, and the time problem within the computers themselves, and everybody was just sitting there with it, you know, biting their nails, waiting for 2000 to start, and it was the same thing. We woke up, and hey, it's just another day.
It was a non-event.
Yeah, it came and went. Exactly.
And that's what 2012 is going to be. It's going to be a non-event.
But fear is a great motivator.
That's true.
And the powers that be use fear to motivate us in the direction that they want to lead us into.
Exactly.
And we have to remember that.
This country, I don't know about the other countries, I don't know a lot about that, but it seems like in our country, fear is everywhere, fear of everything. From, catastrophe-type situations to everyday happenings, I hate to watch the news anymore, though. I like to watch things about the Gulf Stream or the Gulf down there, because that's such a mess. But there's so much positive or negative stuff in the newspaper too, and you just have to look for anything positive anywhere. So they're pushing. They're not pushing positive at all. They're pushing negative.
I did the same thing. I tuned out as well. I've stopped watching television. It's very rare that I turn the television on, but I've definitely tuned out to the news as well, because you find that it's very addictive for one thing, and it's just all based in fear. And it gets to the point where it is programming fear into us, and it's gotten to the point where we've become very paranoid and very afraid of one another, and you know, I look outside my window and I see this beautiful world, and I don't see everything that's happening in the news. Now, it doesn't mean that these events don't exist and that they don't occur, but boy, by tuning into the news, you would think that the world is just an evil, horrible place, and that you always have to watch your back and you can't trust anyone. And, you know, we have to remember that as spiritual beings, we are all divine beings. We all have the spark of the source or God within us. And I truly believe that the majority of people out there are really, really good people and not to be feared. And it's okay to smile at people. It's okay to walk down the street and, you know, you see someone walking towards you. Rather than turn away, smile. You know, it's amazing how we don't even do that anymore. And it's also amazing what a smile, the effect that can have on the other person as well. I always make a point of if I'm in a grocery store, wherever I am, when I go up to the clerk, I always smile. I always, say hi, be pleasant. And it's amazing how that changes their a vibratory field, you could say, and suddenly puts them into a positive mood.
Don't you pick up on theirs when their mood changes, and it's better for you too?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a feedback thing. It's better for everyone.
Yeah, and something that simple can really make a huge change. And it, I mean, it sounds kind of naive in a way, but if you think about it, if we all just practice that one thing, I think that alone could make a huge change in this world and help us to shed this fear and paranoia that we have towards one another. Mm-hmm. And this is what the guides talk to us about in the Book of Insight, is that, you know, they give us great tools for getting past the fear. They give us great tools that we can utilize to understand what's really going on and to understand ourselves. For instance, they talk about belief systems and how our thoughts create our beliefs. And therefore, these beliefs are, and the fears are creating our reality as a result. And what they say to us is, if you want to change your life, if you want to change your reality, then you need to change your mind. So when we're being bombarded with all these fearful thoughts, we need to just tune that out and start to focus on positive thoughts and positive beliefs. And any negative beliefs that we have, our guides tell us, replace those negative beliefs and thoughts with positive ones. And what you will discover is that as a result of that, your reality, your life will start to change for the better. And, you know, so once we stop listening to all these messages that the people in power are sending to us through the media, through television, through programming, once we tune those out and go within ourselves and meditate and work on our belief systems and our thoughts, once we start doing that, we realize that we are really the ones in control. And the reason they're trying to force us into this state of fear is because, truthfully, they're afraid of us. Because once we wake up and realize how powerful we are, they no longer have power over us. So that's why it's important to understand all of this. For instance, the book talks to us about healing, about our intuition, about our guides and how to communicate with our guides. And they talk about love and laughter and also talk about emotions and what emotions do to us and how emotions control us. So once we get into all the subjects that are in the book, we will come out at the other end being totally empowered. And
well, just having a whole new perspective on reality.
Yes.
Where we're so tuned into this three-dimensional perspective that we don't realize that there's a much grander picture out there. And when you understand what that grander picture is, that alone starts to alleviate a lot of the fear. I know it certainly has been a comfort to me once we channeled this whole book and actually went back and read the material that was in the pages. It completely changed my perspective on reality, and it certainly put me in a place of comfort, you could say.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, if they, you know, they buy your book, they read it, and they decide they want to try that, they really have to, I would imagine, really have to learn to trust themselves and their intuition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, and it's an easy thing to do, too, because our guides tell us how we can accomplish this in the book. You know, once we get beyond the fear and we realize that reality is something that we can personally manipulate ourselves and that we can manipulate the outcome of our reality in our lives, once we realize this, our fear will go away. Because, you know, when you look at the people in power, they understand how reality operates and they understand how to manipulate the mass consciousness of the population. And we're allowing it to work because they've kept us in a place of ignorance through lack of education, through power and control. And the beauty of our book is that it gives the power back to the reader.
It gives us the tools. I mean,
they
know and understand what the tools are. And a Book of Insight basically gives us those same tools, but it teaches us how to use those tools in a very positive way. And to change our lives and to change the planet en masse in a very positive way, to create the earth, the reality in the earth that we want to create.
Yeah.
And we have to understand, I was just going to say that also we have to understand, too, that everything, and this is something that quantum science will tell us as well, is that everything exists on a vibratory level, if we break all matter down to the smallest, most minuscule fragment we can get to, what we will find is energy. It's all energetic. And when we talk about things like fear and paranoia and hatred and all those negative type emotions, well, those exist. If we imagine sort of a frequency range, those types of emotions, thoughts, feelings all exist within the lower spectrum of the frequency range. Now, we affect that frequency range just with our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs, our intentions. And so what we find is that once we start to change our thoughts, emotions, intentions, beliefs, once we start to change them to positive, we are now we are no longer reinforcing that lower vibration, but we are now reinforcing the upper end of that vibratory scale. And that upper end of the vibratory scale is where love exists, is where beauty exists, it's
joy.
Absolutely, a compassion. And so we just have to refocus our energies, because by tuning into the negativity on TV, on the news, we ourselves are reinforcing the negativity, the hatred, the fear. And we're doing it unconsciously. We don't realize that that's how it works. So once we sort of begin to understand the bigger picture and understand how we do manipulate reality, then we can start to make the positive changes that we want to see in our lives.
Okay, awesome. I do have one question from the chat room, and then we're going to take a break. And they just wondered how you felt, or if they had addressed, the guides had addressed how organized religion fits into the manipulation of us.
Oh yes, they absolutely did address that, and what they said is that it's another method of power and control. I mean, in its core, it has a good message of love, but then it's been corporatized, just like all the other businesses on this planet. And what they said is, in the beginning, in order to maintain power and control over the masses, they created an angry, jealous, vengeful God. And then they said, but, you know, what good is it if you have an angry, vengeful, jealous God if there's no retribution if you piss this God off? So they created the devil and hell. And nothing could be further from the truth. And what they're saying is God, and they refer to God as the source, they're saying that is unconditional love. There is no judgment whatsoever. God does not judge us. And there is no hell other than the hell that we believe in, that we create ourselves with our own beliefs and our own thoughts. And once we realize this, that's another step towards self-empowerment and self-freedom.
So we, in creating our own reality, that's how we created the devil in our, that a lot of people believe in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, our guides tell us that we are all fragments of the source, or God, whatever your term may be. We are all fragments of the source. The source is the ultimate creator. So as fragments of this source, we too are creators. And we create our reality here in this physical three-dimensional reality. But once we cross over, we are still creators. We're just creators in a new dimensional realm. So if you cross over with the belief, you know, very strong belief in a place called hell, and you think that, you know, maybe you didn't live the best life that you could live, and maybe you did some evil things, and maybe you're going to go to hell when you die, you may actually create the illusion of a hell that you then experience. Now, this experience you're having, the experience itself is real. It feels real. But you've created an illusion of hell. And what our guides tell us is that we all have spirit guides, we all have helpers, even once we cross over. And if you do create this illusion of a hell for yourself to experience, that you do have helpers on the side that help to bring you back, help to show you that this is just an illusion you've created, and they help to guide you back to your true home on the other side, which is a place of absolute love, unconditional love and beauty. And that's where we're all meant to go.
Right, I totally believe that, and it's in a way like when you cross over and, like, you believe in hell and you see hell for a while and you, like, go through, like, therapy from your guides, and eventually that you'll shed that and see the love and the light and so forth.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It is like a sense of therapy. It's basically a reprogramming, in a sense. It's like another awakening. It's just another wake-up call. You need somebody to sort of point you in the right direction and point out the illusion that you've created. Just as, you know, even here living on Earth, we do create illusions around us all the time, and some of us are aware of that. We have a greater understanding, a greater consciousness, and some of us are still really caught up in it. So we all do get there eventually, though.
Oh, I hope. I really do.
It's inevitable, because what our guides tell us is that as fragments of the Source, we have no choice but eventually to go back to the Source.
Yeah, we are all divine. We are all parts of God having a human experience. And because of that, we are God. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell us way back a long time ago when he walked the planet. When he said, "I am the Son of God," he meant it literally. But he also meant that you, I, everyone on this planet, and even off-world cultures are all sons and daughters of God. There is no distinction between us and God, because we are God having a human experience. But because we are God having a human experience, what we've forgotten is that we have direct access to the energy and the power of the Source. And that's what we've forgotten, and that's what we are awakening to, is the realization that as divine beings, we also have access to the divine energy and the divine power.
That's a wonderful thing. Okay, well, we're going to take a break right now, and I think play a couple commercials, and then we come back, and we can make sure your website gets out there, and the book, and where they can purchase it, and so forth.
Sounds great.
Tune in to Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.asprn.com, the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Hosts Mike and Jeff, authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, plan to delve into the subject of ghosts, UFOs, and cryptoids, talking to investigators, authors, and so much more. Tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Miami Town Ghost Talk.
Christopher Moon's Haunted Times Magazine, voted the best paranormal magazine in the world by the International Paranormal Acknowledgement Awards, now comes to you live every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join Christopher Moon, Dina Everling, and Paulette Huff as each week they welcome guests from all avenues of the paranormal and metaphysical realm, bringing you the best of the best, doing their part to help you think farther than you could ever imagine. Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Wednesday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Tune in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. for ASPRN's only mid-morning paranormal talk show. AM Paratalk with hosts Mike and Lori will discuss the fun, the interesting, and the fascinating sides of the paranormal with a twist of family life. Tune in for a fun and lively hour with Mike and Lori on Tuesday at 10 a.m. for AM Paratalk, only on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. The All Souls Paranormal Radio Network brings you some of the hottest paranormal radio on the net. Check out www.asprn.com to listen to archives, read about upcoming events, check the schedule, or to listen live every night for great paranormal radio. ASPRN offers you some great radio starting Sunday with Dead Speak Radio and The Man Who Talks to Angels. On Monday, Para-Investigators Radio and The Chat People Radio. Tuesday, Maps Radio and Miami Town Ghost Talk Radio. Wednesday, Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Embrace the Dark, Paranormal Outreach Radio, and Residual Hauntings Live. On Thursdays, Ohio Crypto Radio, EVP Spirit Talk Radio, and Paranormal Encounters Radio. And on Fridays, Behind the Veil,
and Saturday's Paratrinity Radio, so be sure to tune in to www.asprn.com and click Listen Live.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You're on ASPRN Radio, EVP Spirit Talk, and with our guest, Tina and Tony.
Your head's spinning, isn't it, from all this information?
Yeah, it is.
I know.
I could do this for hours.
I know.
So I'm going to bring up the topic of aliens. So, and with all the enlightenment that's going around, do you believe in aliens?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, our guides do too. Yeah.
This is something that they do talk about in the book. And they tell us, they also talk about reincarnation in the book, and they do tie the two together. What they tell us is that we have reincarnated many times, and not only do we reincarnate on this planet called Earth, but many of us have also reincarnated into other life forms on other planets as well. And that these, what we call aliens, really, they are our brothers and sisters. Tina and I refer to them as off-planet cultures because our understanding is that they're really not that alien at all, that we share a very similar DNA, we share very similar body types, and what we're told, and this is not just through information we've been given through our guides, but also research we've done where we've looked into ex-military people who have come forward and talked about this too. And what we've learned is that many of them look exactly like us, that we would not know the difference.
Wow.
And just as we are spiritual beings, they are spiritual beings as well. And many of them are just a lot more either spiritually advanced than we are and technologically advanced as well.
Right. Yeah, and that's totally believable. You know, I just can't believe in this whole vast universe and parts of the universe we have no idea what's even out there, that we are the only beings that have any type of intelligence. It's just
we are the most intelligent being in the universe. I mean, that's what I can't believe.
That's a scary thought.
It's a very, very scary thought. That can't be right.
I mean, we're basically good, but we still have a long way to go. Yeah, no, our guides tell us that we're not alone. Yeah, and what you were just saying, Mike, I totally agree with. When you look at the numbers, and don't quote me here, but you know, we're talking numbers like, you know, in our galaxy alone, something like 100 million planets, and then we have 100 million or 100 billion galaxies, and this universe is continuing to expand. It's infinite. And when you imagine those numbers, when you do the math, which I couldn't even begin to do, I can't even begin to wrap my head around those numbers, it seems impossible that we're it.
Yeah.
We are, when you consider the vastness of the universe, we are tinier than a little speck of dust in comparison to that.
Exactly.
And it makes no sense that this is it.
Right. I mean, it's impossible. It's impossible for one planet in this entire universe to have life on. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's just common sense not to believe that can't be.
Yeah.
Right.
And once we evolve to our future, we will be accepted into the intergalactic community. And that's what our guides tell us, that it is our... it is our destiny to evolve spiritually, and we've got a long way to go, and a lot of that junk DNA that our scientists refer to as junk is not junk DNA. It is DNA that has not yet been activated, and as we evolve spiritually, that DNA will become activated, and we will be able to do things like bilocate or have out-of-body experiences or be more psychic. We will be able to do way more than we can do now and more than what we realize now. And once we get to that level, we will be welcomed into the intergalactic community, because when we get to that level, we get to the level of love, which is not where mankind is now. And to be accepted into the intergalactic community, we have to be
in the love vibration.
Yeah. And what our guides tell us is they, off-planet cultures, see us as a warrior species. And so they're not ready. I mean, I know it sounds a little like Star Trek when we talk about intergalactic communities, but there are communities out there that do exist, and they're not so alien as we think they are. And once we do evolve, once we do become peaceful beings and stop all the wars, then we will begin to be accepted.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But they're certainly keeping an eye on us. They're observing.
They have to be. And sometimes you have to wonder if they're, like, shaking their head, you know?
Yes, the children are throwing a tantrum again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
really.
Like,
did they ever step? Did they ever step in and, you know... I mean, ever do they step in and say, you can't do that, or anything like that,
We've heard stories of that. When you, Stanton Freeman is an example of that, who is a big researcher in this area, and he's talked about how they've actually come down and systematically turned off nuclear silos one at a time, as if this is what we can do.
Pretty amazing.
Talked about that on Larry King one night too. So it was really nice to see that in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mainstream. Yeah.
That's mind-boggling.
Most people are focused on, unfortunately.
Yeah. But for the most part, our understanding is that they do not interfere because we have free will, and it is not for them to interfere. However, if we start nuclear wars or major events like that, this also affects their reality. And if it gets to the point where we're now starting to affect their reality, then they will step in.
Kind of gets a big time out.
Yeah.
Into the corridor, yeah. Mm, wow, that is just fascinating. That's just fascinating stuff.
Absolutely. Well, you want to go ahead and plug your book and where the people can buy it, and... I wholeheartedly recommend people look into this, because this is really deep stuff, really, really deep stuff.
Well, thank you
plus, it's going to go that direction. People need to know and prepare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is a really good guide, especially for people who are new to this type of material. It's a really good basic foundation for people to have. And if anyone is interested in looking through the book or ordering a copy, you can visit our website, abookofinsight.com. And any copies ordered from our site will be signed by Tina and myself. And you can also go to Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, also BarnesandNoble.com as well. Now, for some reason on Barnes & Noble, you have to type in the author name to find the book. I don't know why that is.
Okay.
And for those of you who have Kindle, it's also available on Kindle through Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We like to tell people to come and find us on Facebook as well, and we also have a YouTube channel where we like to post a lot of metaphysical videos for people to watch, and Tina and I will often post videos of ourselves discussing the book and various topics within the book. So come and find us on YouTube at A Book of Insight.
Good.
Okay, and Facebook too, is that what it's under on Facebook also?
Yeah, us up. Look us, each one of us up on Facebook, and we'd love to be Facebook friends with you.
Great.
Okay,
great.
That's fabulous. Wonderful.
So,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, are you planning on expanding into another book, or is that just not, have they guided you in that direction yet? Because it seems like this topic needs to be discussed. This topic needs to be brought to light, because, I mean, if we are going to evolve, like Jenny had said, we need to have the information, you know, for those who are ready to do it.
Yes, absolutely. And they say there's another book coming, but that's exactly what they want us to do right now, is to make this information that we have now available to everybody. So we've been doing radio shows and letting people know, be aware of it, and letting people be aware of where they can get the book and where they can get this information.
Yeah. But they told us that they plan on delivering a series of titles to us. So it's going to be interesting.
It'll be like building on the basic, like this is the basic, and then we just go from there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on. It's been fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And we have put you out in the website. It's www. www.abookofinsight.com.
Abookofinsight.com, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Facebook and YouTube. So everyone on the podcast, check them out and think about what they said, because I pretty much believe this is the way it's going to go too, and I think more people are starting to turn that way every day. So, and we definitely need some help. So,
yes, it's a little.
Thank you guys so much.
Glimmer of hope, a little glimmer of hope, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a bright future.
Thanks.
Good.
we just have some work to do, but we'll get there.
Yes, we do. Yes, we certainly do. Well, thanks so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you to all the listeners as well for joining us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anytime. Thank you very much, ladies.
Our pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well,
that's a lot to, I know. It's
not to digest.
I know, it's like, how do you get that? There's so much information. It's so hard to fit into just 1 hour talk show. So hopefully people will go check out this website and give the book a read, and something has to change, because we're just going down the tubes if nothing does. But the way they explain it, it's going to happen regardless of what we do. So that's hopeful.
Well, you know, and it goes right along with what Thomas Leder has always said, you know, about how we create our own realities. And
Oh, Marcus, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. But I say Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. Maybe not somebody else. Yeah. That's what he's always said too. And when you get people like Marcus and people like them and a couple others who all give you basically the same scenario,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know each other,
right?
It makes you think, why do they all match? I mean, people that have any bit of skepticism in them, and they need something to go on to try to start to digest all this stuff. Think about stuff like that, because we've talked to two or three people that have basically said the same thing, and they don't even know each other.
Exactly.
And it's all come from their guides. So where did they get the information?
You know, like I said, going into it, I was all skeptical because of my experience with the Ouija board, but within the first 10 minutes, I was just, you know, everything just seemed to come together within the first
mm-hmm.
10 minutes. So.
Exactly. Well, okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Next week, we have Stephen Rabel coming on. He is he's a sensitive. He's a medium. He's you all find out. We'll have it all posted before next week. And I think some of you know who Steve is. So we're looking forward to that show.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, thanks, everyone, for listening. And I hope you all have a great night.
Yeah, and thanks to Mike and Crystal for putting up with us this week. So, and
mm-hmm.
everyone have a good evening, and thanks for listening.
Okay, we'll see you next week on EVP Spirit Talk. Night.
Thank you for listening to EVP Spirit Talk. Visit your hosts, Joni and Mike, at www.EgyptValleyParanormalInvestigations.com. And be sure to come back every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.